At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Personal injury of any sort, it's a big deal. An injury attorney, David Femenino, has dedicated his career to securing justice and maximizing recovery for those who have been injured. David is dedicated to ensuring you get the care you need and get your life back on track. So when you're injured, make one phone call to David Femenino, 855-65-CRASH, or go to that website, getdavidgetpaid.com. Get your life back on track. getdavidgetpaid.com.
Oh, hi diddly-doo, neighbors. All right, we've got a hell of a show planned for you here on a sunny Tuesday. Nice of you to join us. Appreciate it if you'd subscribe to our YouTube. Rico, lots to do. We're going to save the death of college sports until 3 o'clock because someone in our office had their fandom taken from them today, and we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, it was sad.
Do want to get to the NFL owners meetings. Wish we were there in person because, I don't know, West Palm sounds pretty good compared to 40 degrees.
But it looks nice out.
Looks nice. Seems like. Sounds like. We'll get to the Lions. We'll get to what Brad Holmes had to say. But I want to start with Jackson Jobe. I know a lot of people
start with Harvey Bias.
I guess
he's Javi, not Harvey.
He's back. I want to start with Jobe. I know a lot of people. You got too many responsibilities to be up watching silly baseball in April. I get it. And I don't know what others have said because I'm out of the spin cycle. I can only give you my reaction to it. And I just want people to calm down. Like the 0-3 thing with the Dodgers. It's not a big deal. Chill. You don't need to go full Costa and start breaking glass in case of emergency. Just like if Jobe didn't pitch well last night, it's okay. Was he great? No. But let me tell you why I thought it was a good start to get his feet wet, start his career. Love to know what you guys have to say about it. David stole part of it. Rico, the Tigers jumped out and did what they seemingly never do. They just put up a crooked number early, right? Mm-hmm. Right from jump, Pete Hancock or whatever the hell his name is, he would know damn good. And it was
they batted around in the first.
Yeah, all right, this dude's a stiff. And they're up 6-0. Well, the problem is Jackson Jobe was warmed up, ready to rock. The nerves of your first career start, I mean, you should have seen Kenny before his first show. He was thrown up in a bucket. But he had to stand there in the dugout. I think Benetti at one point, you know, he's pacing around. I think it threw him off. But here's what I like. When he locates his pitches, they're unhittable. He threw a couple of changeups and a couple of cutters that are as good as anything you'll see in baseball. I'm talking a Johan Santana changeup where you're just not hitting it.
There's a name I haven't heard in a while.
Yeah, but you remember right, that changeup. Yeah. A Luis Castillo-type changeup. He threw a couple of cutters that just disappeared to right-handed hitters, you know, and he's doing it with a 98, 99-mile-an-hour fastball. The control's just not there. And that is the hardest thing for a kid, 21, 22, 23 years old, to dial in. It's a learning process. What I would compare it to is this. Jackson Jobe, to me, as a pitching prospect, is very similar to Grayson Rodriguez for the Orioles. All of the hype, all of the pedigree, all of the stuff, sitting 97, 98, this dominating arsenal. But what's the weakness? Grayson Rodriguez has struggled to locate his pitches, specifically his four-seam fastball. For Jobe, it's going to be a process. But I thought he did a good job. I mean, the walks, that's a problem. But it's his first start. I thought he was just fine. I wish he went a little deeper in the game. Of course I do.
I kind of figured fifth inning was the max, but when four innings, I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what I thought he was going to
have. But I'll tell you why I enjoyed last night. And this is going to see, this is the problem. There is no smarm behind this, but it's going to sound bad. And I want to know from you, the people, 248-539-9797. Last night was one of the rare times I was actually excited to watch this team. They have nothing exciting. Now, Tarek Skubal is the thing. I'm not going to lie to you and say I get excited to watch Flaherty, Mize, Maeda, an Alex Cobb, a Reese Olsen. I don't get excited watching any of those guys. And offensively, yeah, I'm a Kerry Carpenter guy. But come on. What am I going to get up on here and lie to my audience? I drop what I'm doing every night to watch Kerry Carpenter's at bats. No. You don't have an Ellie De La Cruz. You don't have an Otani, a Soto, a Judge, right, and et cetera. We don't have those types of players offensively. Jackson Jobe represents something different. He represents breaking through a glass ceiling. He represents the possibility of more of maybe Skubal's partner in crime and or heir apparent if and when Skubal's not here. I was amped up to watch it. So, look, I thought it was fine enough.
And that's why
you know
I was.
What I'm saying?
I was at fine enough. I'm like, it wasn't great. It wasn't awful. You went out there. You struck out some people. You also gave up two home runs.
Yep.
Almost a third home run. Okay, you had little problems, you know, with your locating your pitches. But other than that,
signed every young pitcher.
Right. It was like, okay, so you're not going to be Skeens coming out there, coming out, you know.
But I tell you what, I didn't like. I don't know that I saw any torpedo bats.
No, you didn't need them.
I want torpedo bats.
You batted around.
Ellie De La Cruz had one last night. He had seven RBIs.
You know who didn't have one? Javi.
That's right.
He doesn't need one. He didn't need one.
He actually has a Bodor.
He just went out there and said, I'm not washed up. Look at this.
Kenny, what would you make of Jobe last night? And we don't need to go crazy about it, but I wanted to start the show with this and just, if you missed it, guys, four walks, not ideal. He battled. I thought he did a nice job. He never lost control of things. And man, when he hits his spot, the stuff is off the charts.
And that's what struck me more with Jobe is when he hits that spot, he becomes virtually unhittable.
Yeah.
And I think the nerves were there. And I think that's going to be a problem for him to start his career. But he's 22 years old, Mike. He's not old enough and experienced enough to be able to control those nerves. I think once it gets to midseason and he relaxes a little bit, he pushes it all down, he gets all set. I think that the location, the accuracy, I think it's going to be a lot more noticeable. You're going to start seeing him being able to
miss a lot
more bats.
I think there'll be a couple of nights where you're going, oh, my God.
Yeah.
But remember, with young pitchers, it's like waves, okay? Maybe you start out hot, then people have video on you. They react. They knock you around a little bit. Now you got a counterpunch.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you go out there, you're not going to have your A stuff. What separates a young and experienced pitcher and a veteran is the experience, is understanding how do I survive out here today? I don't have my good stuff. I don't have a feel for it today. So I'm not going to hold the kid to a crazy standard. Fellas, my big takeaway from this is, what if he's just a five and fly pitcher? Jackson, every fifth or sixth day, we want to get five innings.
Isn't that the way that the league is going now, though?
I was about to say, Mike, you just described every pitcher. Yeah, I don't expect him to ever go that.
If that's the case, that's extremely valuable.
Right.
If he's five and fly, that's the where the league is trending.
Yeah, Kenny, I don't expect him to ever see a sixth or seventh inning. Like, what? Unless he's just out there on the verge of a no-hitter.
He's through six on 68 pitches or something. I hear you. Yeah. But part of it, too, guys, we don't know where this is going to go. Like, there's still a chance he's not here in a month when the rotation gets healthy. Maybe he is. But the idea is there's going to be an innings limit. They're just not, there's no scenario in my world this kid's going to be allowed to pitch more than 140 innings, maybe 130. So start doing the math. You start going, okay, five per start. We skip a couple of starts. You know, can I get in that 25 start range? Well, last night, four innings.
125 innings.
Right. Yeah. So I was good with it, and it was a rare moment I was actually excited to watch this.
He looked better than he did in the playoff series against Cleveland.
Yeah, a little bit of a tough spot.
All right.
that was still wild.
I mean, that was one of those, either this is going to be something legendary, he's going to do something spectacular, or he looked like a guy out there, yeah, and the moment was just too big.
But man, from a stuff standpoint, it's only one start, and I'm not getting carried away, but from a stuff standpoint, that's as good as you'll see.
spinning the dish on a nightly basis, watching any pitcher in the game. It's just going to take time to iron it out. That's all.
I guess I was expecting a little bit more, only because with pitchers, nobody's really seen you. And that's that first time they go out there is when they got the stuff and they're dealing. And then after that, they got footage, they got tape. Yep. They could see,
it's just location.
His tendency. When he does this, he does that. He's tipping his pitches off. And then the next couple of times around, he gets roughed up a little bit.
It's all location. And again, you could see he was amped up. You're not going to be throwing 99 miles an hour on first pitch fastballs. Sit at 97. Take a little bit off. Locate the damn thing. Because if you pair up the fastball with that changeup, good night. And then, obviously, you add a third pitch like the cutter. You will dominate. But it's all location.
Yeah, but here's another thing that I want to take note to is, and I get it, Dingler and Jobe worked with each other in the minors a lot. They're comfortable with each other. But Jake Rogers could be another element in this that helped Jobe later on, that if he starts catching him, if that ends up being the thing.
Oh, his personal catcher.
I'm just saying.
I don't know. Maybe he just keeps his own personal catcher.
Dingler could still be his catcher. It could be a factor.
The people are fired up.
It goes like the Greg Maddux and Eddie Perez.
There it is. Nailed it. 248-539-9797. Shout out Gerald Laird. Again, the Jobe report. If you watch, talk to me. I think it's worth two segments on a Tuesday, and we'll rev the engines. We got to update you on the Pistons. We got to update you on this owners meeting with the NFL. And yeah, I think a very interesting player hit the transfer portal, and it has shaken someone in our office to a point where they're like, I don't even know what to root for anymore. People's pets' heads are falling off. We're going to get to that a little bit later. So 248-539-9797. Give me your feedback on Jackson Jobe's debut last night. Nice night for the Tigers. Get off the schneid. Put a crooked number up. You know, I don't want to say coast. There were some moments where you're like, oh my God, are they going to blow this? But let's talk about it a little bit. You can tell people are fired up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yes, we are going to get to some Pistons conversation. Yes, we're going to get to the NFL owners meeting. Yes, we are going to talk about someone's fandom dying today because of the portal and more. And we will have a blitz a little bit later in the hour. David, couple of ticket texts. I want to hear from people. I thought Jobe was fine. I think if you're asking a 22-year-old to come up and be Paul Skeens, you're out of your mind. That's a one of one. That's a once a decade guy. You know what I need from Jobe? Just be yourself. 4 or 5 innings a night. Don't get roughed up. I thought last night was uneven based on, look, the team comes out, scores 6 runs. The guy was in the dugout playing Sudoku for an hour.
So you're saying the 6 runs actually may have hurt him?
Yeah, I think so, especially before debut.
Well, yeah, I think they said he threw like 5 pitches before he actually went on the mound just to kind of rewarm back up.
Yeah. But overall, look, you see it. He threw a couple of cutters, a couple of changeups that you're just not hitting. You got to locate your stuff, and that's the hardest thing for a young pitcher to do. So I was encouraged. It's not like he went out there and fell on his face.
No.
And God help us, team scored some runs. Isn't that fun? David, ticket text coming in, and we'll get to some of the callers. What do you got?
Jobe needs to learn, still young, how to spot the fastball better. 99 down the middle in Erie is great, but 99 here is hittable. That is Nick at work. Someone says the Tigers and the Tiger fans need to be patient with Jobe.
Yes.
He looks just fine.
It's the same thing. You can't jump the gun on a young hitter in 30, 40, 50 at-bats. You got to have 100, 150 at-bats. Now, look, if a veteran comes out like Rafael Devers
and is 0-for-1,000,000 with 15 strikeouts and it looks like he's tanking at bats, we can have a different conversation.
Yeah, if not, you end up with the red pop.
Okay. I don't ever want to hear about Chris Shelton again. Yeah, there. Go ahead, please.
Job has elite stuff. Just needs to learn to be more consistent with location and execution, which will come with more experience. Having Fetter talking in his ear every day doesn't hurt him either.
No, not in the least. You've got a pitching program here. You know, you are quickly approaching what the Guardians do from a pitching standpoint. You know, the Guardians always have these dudes. You're like, who is this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, they have another guy in the pen throwing 800 miles an hour. You're approaching that. You have a system. And from a developmental standpoint, I mean, that has staying power. Let's get to some of the people. Go to Robert. He'll bat leadoff today, 97-1. Robert, what's going on, pal?
I love the show, guys. Love the show. I think the biggest thing that I noticed was the differential in velocity with his cutter and changeup to his fastball. I mean, that's going to play. But like you guys said, he just has to locate things. One of the highlights that I noticed from last night, bottom of the fourth, he comes out and leadoff home run. I forget the guy's name,
Cal Raleigh.
Yeah, so the next guy comes, you know, and you look for those moments with a young kid, essentially. He bounces back against Tellez, and he goes four strike, strikeout.
Yep.
And he goes fastball, and then a cutter, and then he just mashes him with the changeup, and he's like, what? He was so far ahead of it at 84 miles an hour. That was fun. And
yeah.
So I have no expectations big time, you know, or long term or whatever. Who knows? But that's just like those snapshot moments. I'm like, all right, he's got some juice.
Yep. So, and look, I mean, Robert, here's my one question. And I'm not trying to be negative about it. It's just more there are very few nights I'm excited to watch the Tigers. Last night 100%. Provided some excitement. They don't play. I'm not excited to watch that lineup. This, no, I'm like, I'm in.
How could you be? I mean, I wanted, you know, we don't need to rehash the offseason. I think they needed to add some juice to the lineup and the everyday lineup and everything like that. The only three guys I really enjoy watching in the day-to-day are, you know, Carpenter, Green, and Torque's enticing. And I'm just going to leave it at that because the batting average ball in play is not going to, it's not going to continue to be 500 or whatever it is. So,
yeah.
But, you know, it's the fact that we have a starting talented guy, the first in a bit is awesome. And it's kind of, I don't want to say must see, you know, who from way back when, but it's exciting that may be in the future. Who knows?
Yep. That sounds about right to me. It's again, we're all looking for a few things. It's a long season. I'm not going to overreact to stuff. The team's beat up right now. You know, my deal, get through the first 2 months, hope to get Parker Meadows back and just be 500. Be in the mix. I don't think anyone in this division is going
to be able to have our own version.
Whoa.
Didn't we just talk about that the other day?
Yeah. Mark Mulder, Barry Zito, Tim Hudson, take it easy.
Jason here, and Job looked decent to me for starting debut. Stuff looks unreal, and when he did walk a guy or give up a home run, he didn't appear to be rattled at all. Love that. Job was exactly what I expected. His cutter is unreal. He will figure it out by mid-season.
So the question is, do you believe he's up here all year? I still feel like they're going to drop Estelle Getty on that mound and send this kid down, a.k.a. Alex Cobb. And they absolutely have to introduce him to the Golden Girls song. There's just no doubt.
Okay, not going to happen.
Thank you for being a friend. Alex Cobb up on new bland corporate scoreboard.
Are they going to bring him out in a wheelchair?
Yes. Instead of running from the bullpen, they bring Cobb in a wheelchair.
And play the MASH hit then.
Wait, or bring him out on a cart, but the left blinker is just on the whole time.
I can't believe we paid Alex Cobb $15 million.
Okay, he'll be just fine.
All right, I'll be quiet. Yeah, it's my general sentiment towards this stuff, but we're going to do it. We are here to serve. As Rico says, it is a life of service. Mock draft, we do it once a week. I ain't doing 17 of these like other shows. Once a week, David parses
out. All seven rounds?
Absolutely not. And David parses out the 7, 8, 10 most interesting picks of the mock. We don't just go in order. And with that, it is time for Football Today.
It is mock draft time, and we have trades involved in this one.
Oh, God. This is the stuff we all get bricked up about. Correct. And they never happen.
Correct. So, normal, number one, Cam Ward goes to the Tennessee Titans.
Question, are we all in on the Titans taking Cam Ward? Do we believe it's not a ruse? They're going to take their franchise QB because, let's face it, the other QB they have puts mayonnaise in his coffee. Can't happen.
Yeah, it seems like they're abandoning him quickly, but yeah, I mean, you're only going to get the number one overall pick, hopefully, once, so you might as well take advantage of it. I thought they're going to try their best to trade out, but I think the closer we get, I think they're actually just going to take Cam Ward.
That's hilarious. Hopefully once. You're right. Hopefully once. Yes, they're taking him.
I mean, let's face it, you don't want to be in the top three every year.
You like the Cardinals?
Right.
Number two, the Cleveland Browns select quarterback Shador Sanders.
Now this, okay.
All up and down the board.
And again, he's working out for him.
Now, oh, wait a second. All I know, I don't speak on these matters. This man to my left, this is the PR firm for Mr. Shador Sanders. I'm going to step away and just let Rico preach the gospel.
Well, it's funny because I think Cleveland is looking at him and Travis Hunter. Both are working, having the private workout with Cleveland. So if you're Cleveland, you came out and admitted publicly you made a huge mistake with Deshaun Watson. Like, yeah, we screwed this one up. Are you setting your fans up to say we recognize the mistake and here's Shador Sanders? David, yes, because they don't have a quarterback. And this way, you don't have to trade. You just pay Myles Garrett. So your quarterback's going to be cheap for the next 5 years if you get this thing right. I say, yeah, Shador Sanders.
I think it'd be a colossal waste of time.
Maybe, but what? You're going to make a trade for Cousins?
No. Yes, absolutely. Or I take Jackson Dart, or I take Milroe. I'm reinvesting in Myles Garrett. I'm on the hook now for $40 million to this guy. I'm going to go get Abdul Carter, extend his career. We're going to be a defensive-oriented team. O-line will get healthy. And, yes, I know that's not a great answer. You and I differ is that I don't think he's worth taking there.
I don't think he's worth taking there either, Mike, but the fact that you just came out and admitted we made a gigantic mistake taking
Jimmy
Watson.
Jimmy Haslam's an idiot, but
okay.
Yes.
And you have the private workout session.
Can we just get him a Sanders jersey?
I don't want the Sanders
you
jersey.
You love him.
Mike, I think he's going to be more successful because you know what he never had at Colorado? An offensive line.
Oh, I thought a real coach. My bad.
You know what he won't have in Cleveland? An offensive
line. Well, you know, a lot of guys were hurt. David, go ahead. Let's move it.
Number three, the New York Football Giants select Travis Hunter.
Whatever.
Oh, a blue card is there.
I think that's a silly draft
pick. I'm going to let this man speak.
Yeah, that's a silly draft pick. First of all, no one has established that he's elite at either, being a corner or a wide receiver. He will not play both ways at the pros, so don't draft him as such. Third of all, you win with big people. You win with the tip of the sword. Mason Graham is staring you in the face. Either trade out of there or you weaponize Dexter Lawrence in the same way we talked about Myles Garrett. Put Mason Graham next to Dexter Lawrence with Kayvon Thibodeau and Brian Burns on the outside of them, which was the number two pass rush duo in the league on win rate. Or do what stupid John Mara does. Wear a puff vest inside and take a guy that you have some stupid boner about playing both ways. Get the hell out of here.
But just think about it. Travis Hunter on this side, Malik Nabers over here.
What does that mean?
You have elite receivers.
Okay, next.
And then you can have Hunter, you know, on defense.
No, you can't.
And
he's not Chuck Bednarik.
You can put him on punt returns, kickoff returns. He can do it all. Yeah. He's Booby Miles. He'll cut your grass.
And he'll blow his knee out the same way. David, go
number
ahead.
Four, because he falls in this one, the Patriots take Abdul Carter.
It's a fantastic pick. He's the best player in the draft. Next.
And if you're the Patriots, you are saying, thank God. Shh, don't let these other three teams make that mistake. We're going to get the best player.
At number five, we have our first trade. The Chicago Bears trade up with Jacksonville and select Ashton Jeanty, running back.
Nothing would shock me. All Ben Johnson's done is copy the playbook from here.
I was about to say, where did he learn that
from? Yeah, it wouldn't shock me. Would I do it? No.
Ooh.
But look, I think it's a very good running back draft. But if they have that kind of grade on this kid, and you come from the House of Holmes, nothing would shock me.
Jenty over Graham? Wow.
Yes.
Graham ends up going number 7 to the Jets in this one.
Oh, congrats. Wait, never winning a thing, Mason.
So who'd the Raiders take? Because, you know, that was their person.
The Raiders took an offensive tackle, Armon Mimbo.
Okay.
And I mean, look, if you have concerns about the Lane Kiffin offense and maybe making it easy for him, okay. But in this draft, I think that's far more appropriate at 18 than Shador at 2. And if you're Seattle, you take a flyer on it. I don't think he's Kenny Pickett. I don't think that's appropriate.
Number 21, the Steelers take a former MSU player, Derek Harmon, out of Oregon. And at 20,
it's so weird to say that because it's like, was he? Like, he's an Oregon Duck now. You're dead to me.
At number 22, the Chargers take Coastin Loveland, which, of course, that makes
sense. All right, I'm going to ask Rico this question. Is this becoming a media narrative? Look, we all made the joke. Harbaugh drafting his old tight end. It's a perfect fit for what Justin Herbert needs. But, like, it makes so much sense that it will never happen. Mm-hmm. But now you're seeing confirmation bias. Everyone is just saying the same thing.
Because I think Mikey's the second best tight end. If he's there, I do think that Harbaugh is going to pull the trigger and go get one of his guys. I think that it's almost a no-brainer. I don't think he thinks it's going to happen. But, yeah, if all the big people are going and the quarterbacks and all of that, and he's sitting there, you got to take him if you're the Chargers because you know how to use him properly.
Mm-hmm.
At number 26, we have a trade. The Philadelphia Eagles trade up to 26 to take a Georgia Bulldog.
No.
Mykael Williams.
Somebody get Rico a wet wipe. The Eagles have drafted a Georgia Bulldog. Kenny, do you want to speak on this? Because Mykael Williams just wasn't healthy this year. I figured every game I watched, okay, this will be the week he plays. He practiced all week. He looks great. Cutscene. He plays 6 snaps. What did you make of Mykael Williams last season? And would you draft him at that spot?
Well, I know Brad Holmes would because he likes the injured guys. But I would personally. I think he's a warhead. I think he's great. But again, when healthy, not guaranteed with this cat.
Yeah. But Eagles, which means he'll turn into Superman.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
And what I like what the Eagles are doing. Oh, but we lost this player. We lost that. We're going to continue to reinvest in that D-line. Yeah, they lost Josh Sweat. Yeah, they lost Milton Williams. They're going to go and replace him.
So you mean you just don't hold on to all your pieces?
You know, David, this guy needs an energy drink. He has a bad attitude right now.
And then finally.
Because David didn't tell me who's getting picked at pick 11.
Oh, offensive lineman. I mean.
Was it Kelvin Banks?
No, Kelvin Banks goes later. You get Will Campbell.
Okay. Oh, tiny arms.
Yeah, you get tiny arms. They remeasured him.
Yes, and they're not tiny.
Hold on. I actually have a note here. Allow me. Guys, can I have 1 second? I know we're on live radio, but this could make the show better. I want to make the show great again. Hold on. Where is it? I have a list of offensive tackles that have short arms like Will Campbell. It's not great. But you know one of them who's on there? Believe it or not. And it gives you confidence. Penei Sewell.
Oh.
It's a list of bums, then first jacket Hall of Famer. So it's kind of like, I just wanted to make you comfortable.
It's all about the heart and grit.
He's a mauler. Yeah. He's a battler. It's not pretty, but he gets the job done.
And like Sewell, he'll go to the right tackle spot.
Correct. And let me give you the final. Number 28, we have a trade.
Okay.
The Raiders trade back into the first round and select Matthew Golden, which means that means the Lions are trading out. Doesn't say what they would get, but they're trading up 9 spots.
Yeah, I'd have no problem with it. I'm not married to the 28th pick. A lot of people who cover the league have said the player you get at 15 is the same guy you get at 35. I don't have an issue with it.
So, yeah, it means, you get the Raiders number 2 and probably the Raiders number 3. Or Raiders fourth round.
But
Or a second round pick in next year's draft.
Okay, all right. Anything else? You get like some fresh fruit. You get like a little edible arrangement too.
And I need the energy drink.
I'm good. I'm ready to rock.
Future grocery delivery.
That's because I got Travis Hunter. I'm all hopped up.
Is that it, man? You should be happy.
I'm not.
He plays both sides of the ball, I've heard.
Okay. Sure, in the Big 12.
That is your mock draft.
All right. Rico took something completely the wrong way. But I want to get into this. David, any ticket text before we get into this? Because there is breaking news, and it's
again, I'm not expecting this to be pandemonium. I'm just simply telling you, someone in this office is greatly affected by today's news, and I need to know if you guys are. I mean, that is what we do. We talk to you, the fans. But David, any ticket text first, and then I'll get into our next issue of the day.
Well, nothing of significance except this.
Yes.
Sad to hear David losing his battle with puberty. Maybe Val Barry could give him voice lessons.
No. First of all, you can't make fun of the man for losing his voice singing the good word. The man was at a pastor conference.
At least that's what he told us.
Oh, come on.
What did Kenny say yesterday?
I mean,
moving
know
along.
What, David? We'll know if, you know.
Even I'm not
little
comfortable
baby Jesus
with
is born.
Move it on. notice I'm not stoking the fire of any of this. I'm trying to defend David.
Someone does say, come on, guys. Sanders couldn't win his conference.
Zoink, Scoobs!
Nor beat a team from their conference with the Heisman winner. This kid is going to be a bust.
I will agree with Rico that he did not have an offensive line. My disagreement is he displayed a ton of bad habits. You're going to have to unwind.
You know what? I agree with you on that, too.
We both mutually agree. It's just you like the guy more than I do.
You give him a good offensive coordinator who will use his skills, and I think you have something. The same way Ben Johnson used Jared Goff.
Yep.
Like, if the right person can bring a lot out of him, and he doesn't have to run for his life, because I think he wakes up every morning saying, oh, my goodness. Oh, okay, I'm not on the field.
Well, anymore. Let me ask you this. I'll tell you what we'll do. Just a couple of minutes on this, and we'll move on. Did you see the ESPN piece where every team made a trade in the first round? Okay, so here's the Lions trade. So tell me what you liked better, trading out of the first round for picks and stuff and things, or me, the Lions trade pick 28 and pick 130. So first round and fourth round.
Okay.
They trade pick 128 and they get the Bengals second rounder at 48 and Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah.
Okay. No. Boy, big buildup there by Rico.
I'm like,
you sounded like Jansen this morning when they brought up Weiss, and he's like,
shocking.
No, I'm thinking, what's the downside of this?
Okay.
So listen.
I'm sorry.
All right. Everybody calm down. So look, I understand full well what Brad Holmes has said. Is it wrong of me? Now, I'm going to do something I rarely do. Is it wrong of me to hold out hope for a Hendrickson draft night deal? That until Hendrickson either signs, retires, or is traded somewhere else, I'm not going to harangue the organization.
You're me waiting for that Aaron Rodgers deal.
Yes.
Okay.
But like, there won't be any yelling by me. I'm not being negative. I'm just saying, am I alone in holding out hope that they're saying what they're saying publicly, but privately, you're just waiting the Bengals out?
I was there for a while, but I think, and I'm going to give him full credit, maybe Wojo was right a long time ago, that Aiden talked to Brad, and Brad came back saying, son, we can't afford it. Hey, can we go out and get this brand new toy? We can't afford it. So, no. And they're doubling down at the owner's meeting. It sounds great, Mike. I would take that trade in a heartbeat. I don't know any Lions fan that would be upset over that. Because you're getting a second rounder, and you're getting him as your first round pick. But I don't think it's going to happen. I think the Lions they're going to go the poverty route. They're going to go, we're broke, and we got to pay all our players in a few years.
So okay.
We got to save our money.
Yeah, and again, if you're understanding, you know, Rico is referring to what Brad Holmes said, that there's a bill coming due. Obviously, look, Brad Holmes is very good at what he does. That doesn't mean he's God. I think anyone who follows the NFL understands that with the media rights deals and the salary cap growing on an annual basis, a very aggressive manner, plus the fact the Lions left a lot of cap space on the table this year, it's a conservative approach. But they believe they were going to win the Super Bowl last year. They're going to re-sign all those people. By the way, Brad Holmes also admitted that Mike and Rico aren't crazy, not by name, but Aleem McNeil will not be ready for the start of the year.
What?
So you guys can stop hurling slurs at the both of us as if we're insane people.
What the bionic knee?
Thank you. You're out of... Will you just please have that energy drink? You are in a real bad way today.
Wouldn't that make me even more hyper?
I don't know. I'm just hoping it turns you around.
I'm just happy to be here.
Okay. Kenny, you were about to say something. Go ahead, buddy.
You asked if you'd be crazy for holding out hope for a trade like that. And
even worse, I asked, am I outright wrong to hold out hope?
I don't think you're wrong, but everything you said after pretty much outlines the way I feel about it. They're going to take the conservative approach. They don't really make moves like that. But if they were going to do it, it would be draft night. And I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, the level of craziness for you might be like a 6 or a 7.
6 or 7?
Yeah.
For 10. Just being hopeful?
10. Rico's at 10. I'm being conservative.
No, he's at level bleep hole. He's at a completely different scale.
But hey, Travis Hunter.
Right.
I just, Mike, no, it makes sense. But as you know,
I know,
in the NFL, the deal that makes the most sense never happens. Right?
Yes. I don't want to say it, but yes.
Or you can just go ahead and step on that rake.
No, David, go ahead.
I'm leaning in Rico's direction here. It ain't happening. The language that Brad Holmes is using, I
know.
Just don't.
But that deal that was presented by ESPN,
it makes total sense.
I'm with Rico on it. What is the downside?
Right.
You move down 20 spots? Who cares about the fourth round pick? Anybody you draft now is not going to start for this team.
I mean, it almost feels like an April Fool's Day joke. Like, okay, seriously, that's it? That's all you want? Done. Let's sign this thing right now. Let's call the commissioner. Here, use my phone. Hey, Raj, Bengals want to talk to you. Here you go. Say whatever the secret code word is and make the deal happen.
Yeah, someone on Ticket Tech says, Mike, I just heard the mock Lions trade. In the words of Rieger, can they do that now? Then someone else says, so Mike, are you saying let Brad cook?
No, I said I wish it was different. How do you draw that out of what I said?
Oh, let me type that again a little better. I'm joking.
Yeah, no, guys, this is the problem with this world. There's a failure to critically think and separate. Hey, we do a sports show. And it's about opinions and feelings. And then, yes, you let facts get in here. Okay, well, the way I want it is not the way that it is. I'm not going to yell and scream about it. I can't change it. But I don't have to become a Brad bot.
No.
And then be like, well, his way is the only way. Well, it's not. And I don't think it gives you the best chance to win it all. But you're free to do it. And it doesn't mean we won't win it all. But what's not going to happen between now and draft night is nonsensical blathering. Yes, I want Trey Hendrickson. They might not. What do you want me to do? But I'm not going to yell about it. But no, I'm not sitting here endorsing do nothing and wait, be scared about things in 2027. Like, oh, there's a bill coming like it's a tsunami. It's the NFL. You just make it. The NFL and the government are the same thing. You just make up money. You just press buttons. That's all it is.
I'm with you.
The Saints should have been Chapter 11 4 years ago. They've been $70 million in, and you're like, how?
Or at least have a yard sale, but yeah, they don't. They still go out there, they still play, and they're in no danger of closing as a business.
No, the Caesars Dome still opens.
Yeah.
So, look, I'm just saying I understand reality.
No, but I think this person is, because if you're critical of Brad, and then you're saying, well, he made a trade, and I think that's good. Guys, this is one of those where both can be true. You can be. I don't like the way how he's handling business. I don't. I'll be the first to say it. And you know who cares? He doesn't. Because he's going to keep receipts and say, look, I did this, I did that, and I was smarter than you.
You know what? I got a receipt. You didn't win a playoff game last year.
Oh, wait. Here, you need this.
I'm good.
Well, someone on Ticket Tech is saying, Rico, we need to get you a Snickers.
You're not yourself when you're hungry.
Wait.
Rico's actually Joe Pesci right now. All right.
What am I doing?
Let's get to the portal.
No, please. Answer my question.
And Rico's entered the radio portal. And if it works like college hoops, he's going to be doing radio in St. Louis by 3:30.
All right.
Let's go.
Hey, St. Louis, how's the Arch people out there? All right.
What's go the cards? Deal with Arenado?
Arch people.
Arch, yeah, hold on. David, hit a button. 97.1.